Yeah, before. Light the candle and the incense. Ah, yeah. 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 Chai, first time. Yeah. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Yeah, light the incense, yeah. Okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Can we say that? Then we can get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then with mindfulness, we shall mindfully commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa buddhang saranang gacchami dhammang saranang gacchami sanghang saranang gacchami dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami suramiraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you can be seated. Then you turn to page 4 to Chandi Padipapuja. Oh, sorry, page 3. Ganna sarpa dithena dithena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana motamang vanna ganna gano petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena ca raina hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu multamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all this significance of the puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently, sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripajan. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. We can have half an hour meditation. Today is the 7th of September, 2017. So after a break of about 2 months, we are back at Suyan and Mifong's house. So welcome everybody. Sadhu, something to offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can get ready for meditation. We are off the light so that you can have your formal meditation. For those who still need to train your mind, you go ahead. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. Then I will give you some very brief summary of what you're supposed to do so that you may recollect. Basically, the formal meditation is for you to train your mind. If you already have the spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya stabilized, technically you no need to train, because the spiritual faculty will make sure the mental hindrance, the 5 mental hindrances, are not there. You can be very sure that they will not arise to disturb you. But because most people didn't develop the spiritual faculty, only very few have that. So normally the mental hindrance will be there. It will arise what they call mental hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's the reason why most meditators without the spiritual faculty already developed and stabilized, they cannot meditate. Their mind think a lot, wander off very fast. So for such a mind, you need to train it, because this is the heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind, who has developed all this heedlessness through habitual tendency. Habitual tendency comes about from your daily life activity. When you are not mindful, you are not heedful, and you cannot develop the right view or right understanding to perceive things as they are, you will tend to react and stir your mind. The moment you react and stir, you create duality, which are the two extremes of sensual desire and ill will, or like and dislike, or your pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience. And these two are the mental hindrance, first two of the five mental hindrance. And you do it so often until it becomes habitual. Then throughout the day, while you are conscious of life, but you are never mindful and heedful, you will create mental hindrance. And mental hindrance, being hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness. And you do it so often until it becomes habitual. Then this will create a conditioning for you to become heedless. That's why you think a lot, you worry a lot, you react and stir your mind almost throughout the day while you are going through your life. So these are the understanding that you must develop. In order to reverse all this, you have to train this heedless thinking mind born of mental hindrance. So how do you train? The Buddha prescribed a few technique or object of meditation. The first one is, of course, loving kindness combined with mind sweeping method, which I already taught you all. So you learn to decondition your heedless thinking by developing mindfulness or awareness of your physical body. Mind sweeping method is a very good way to decondition your heedless thinking, because you just relax body and mind, silent everything, don't try to know. Close your eye, make sure you have a straight backbone, a stable sitting posture. If you have leg problem, then you can sit on this chair or a couch or just lie down, lean against the wall. Whatever posture that can make you stable, relax and develop the silent mind to meditate, you can adopt it. Then you close your eye, silent everything, just feel your forehead. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, then you just silently and soothingly relax, relax and relax until your whole forehead is soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep this mind down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. No more thinking, just feel, relax. You can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just soothingly relax into it. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel it. Every strand of it. Relax into it. Silence everything. Then in order to help you relax more naturally, you can visualizing yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate this radiant smile, you will be relaxed, you will be peaceful. Then you use loving kindness to bring about inner well-being. You can start off metta by radiating to your own body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel your body and mind having this well-being and happiness within as you radiate. Then you continue. May too be free from all harm and suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Then you extend this metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, known and unknown, seen and unseen too, Be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue this metta by radiating them to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhangjaya, all Kayanamitta, all co-cultivator and meditator, and all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate to all the other beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, and all beings within the Milky Way, extending to the entire universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you go back to your facial muscle, just feel it and relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax every part of it, back to shoulder, feel and relax. Then you sweep it down to your heart area, your chest area. This is a very important location within your physical form. This is where the heart is, the seat of consciousness. The life force of the heartbeat, they arise and they pass away here. And this is also where your mind base is. We call it the seat of consciousness. You become conscious from here. The life force that bring forth the karmic life support will trigger off your heartbeat and give you the energy to be aware, to be conscious. You can just silence everything and just feel your entire chest. The moment you are silent, you can detect. You can detect whatever vibration or even your heartbeat. You just silent everything and stay there. Be with it. Yeah. Relax into it and just stay there. If you are new, you don't have the sensitivity or the training of mind, then you just relax everything. Like you relax your forehead. You feel your heart area. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it, then relax into it. Silence everything and just relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, again feel, relax. Then move it down to your abdomen, silence everything, feel, relax. Then sweep it down to your buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. Then you can reverse all this mind sweeping method back to the forehead. Starting with your leg, feel, relax every part. Buttock, feel, relax every part. Then move it out to your abdomen, feel, relax every part. Then your stomach, feel, relax every part. Then your heart area, feel, silent and relax every part. Then you move it up to your shoulder, your hand, back to shoulder, neck. Then you feel your facial muscle, again, silent everything and just feel. Then sweep it up to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Forehead, feel, relax. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful, and more aware within. This is the mind that you're supposed to develop and train, the silent mind, to develop the meditation. What you need is to stabilize this silent mind, or what we call mindfulness that you have developed. So to stabilize it, you have to develop a skillful means for you to be aware. And this one can be any method or technique that you are familiar with, or chanting. The one recommended by the Buddha is Anapanasati. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silent everything. Relax into it and feel. Then like the Buddha say, breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then because you are attentive, just silent and aware at the nostril. Breathing in, your mind is aware. Breathing out, your mind is aware. Your silent mind will detect the breathing. Then just be with it. Yeah. If it wanders off, means you have not trained. So just let it be, because the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, you wander off. Every time it wanders off, you come back to the nostril. In front of your nostril, just maintain silent awareness. Then develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Breathing in, the breath and the mind move as one without thought. Breathing out, the breath and the mind move as one without thought. If you are patient, not long, this training will be stabilized. Then your Anapanasati will start to flow. Naturally, you will be mindful of the in and out breath without words, without thought, without any verbalization or thinking. Then the mind will settle down and become very calm and very peaceful. By doing that, you will experience a type of peace which we call piti. Piti is a mental calmness, a spiritual calmness born of training the mind to be aware. When you are in sati, mindfulness, without thought, you will experience the calm state, the peaceful state. So this piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, spiritual peacefulness that comes with the mental training that will arise when sati is there. You continue to relax into it and let the Anapanasati stabilize, develop. Then not long, this Anapanasati will again become more refined, transformed, until you can feel a type of spiritual joy leading to spiritual calmness, very intense, much more refined calmness. We call it Sukhang, or spiritual blissfulness, yeah, which is more refined than piti. So you continue to relax into every mind state, then just develop Anapanasati, breathe in, breathe out mindfully, until this mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. Initially, you will experience a lot of long breath, which will make you very calm. Because of your mindfulness, you can experience the piti, the sukha. So this state, they will stabilize until that piti transform, becomes sukha. Then finally, sukha will also transform until the breath also become very quiet, very peaceful and very still, like no movement. This is basati, the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. is also an enlightenment factor. You have to train your mind until pasti arise. Then you silence everything and be with the moment in silent awareness to meditate. During that time, you can stay either at your breath. Your breath will become like very subtle, very still, like no movement. But don't panic, don't do anything, just relax and silent until this quietness, peacefulness, the silent mind, the tranquility or stillness of mind, pasti, become very stable, becomes very, very quiet. Then the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, technically, you don't need any object of meditation to hold it, to anchor it, to make it peaceful or quiet. It will stay there and be quiet on its own. Then if you are still around your nostrils, subtle breathing there, you will reach a point all of a sudden you can re-establish your anapanasati, even though very subtle, like no more movement. But your mindfulness has become so refined. It has become different. It has the ability to feel the subtle breathing, or some call it the internal breathing. And during that time, the subtle breath, like no more breath, will become clear to you again. And you can maintain calmness and peacefulness within the subtle breathing. And your mindfulness can be re-established. Yeah. Then you just silence everything and stay there. Yeah. Then this silent mind, which is pasti, the meditative mind, become very sensitive. Then after that, no matter where you locate this mind, you can feel your own vibration, your own clarity. You put it at the forehead, you can feel every part. You put it, move it down to your heart area, you can hear your own heartbeat. You can detect whatever vibration that arise and pass away within your physical form. So this is how you train your mind, develop the silent mind, the meditative mind, to meditate. Then from there, you will understand many things. You will understand how you function as a human, how the dependent origination dwelling arise and pass away within your own form and mind. Then you can also understand who you are, what you are clearly, the essential Dhamma, you will see them all. Then how upon contact, what actually happened, you will understand. Okay, I'll let you meditate on the own. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Thank you. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that can help you to develop the stability of mind while you are in the moment in life. The daily mindfulness has to come about, otherwise the real meditation cannot take off. So the form of meditation is just to train this mind to be aware. Then after it's already stable, aware, you use it to meditate. In the form of meditation, it's very easy to meditate. But this is to stabilize your mindfulness until it becomes very, very stable. And when the stability is established, every action, every movement, every vibration within your form of mind, you can be aware. Then even when you come out of your meditation, or while in the formal sitting, any movement, any activity will be like magnified. And you are always calm, peaceful, and just aware within. And that is the meditative mind. Don't try to know. Go for the four support, relax, aware, silent. Then maintain the silent for as long as you can. And through that silence, you will understand many things. Then as you move and come out of the meditation, maintain that flow, the continuity of mindfulness until throughout the day you are able to be mindful of all action or movement in the present moment. Then your meditation will develop and you will progress very fast. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. I'll read to you all the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko เอหิปัสสโกโอปานายโกปัจจตังเวทิตาตุวินโนหิทิสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติติสังภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆมิจิปติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติดังจัตตาริปุริสโยคานิอัตตาปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดักเกเนโยอัญจาลิกรณิโยอนุตรังปุญญเกตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุHey, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Bedang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated.Just relax body and mind, then we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Okay. Now we will open it up for meditation reporting. Yeah, you sit on the couch better, Kirun, yes.No need to like force yourself to sit on the floor because for some of you, you are not that young. Age is catching up. So you need to sit on a stool or on a proper couch or chair. You can by all means excuse yourself. But for those who can still sit on the floor, you can continue to sit. Okay, now.You just have to raise your hand if you want to report your meditation or ask any question related to your practice, your meditation, your cultivation, and also the Dhamma. So you have passed to Kiet Hun. Kiet Hun got some question maybe. Yeah. Or she used to come to... But my series house. Oh, before I forget, those who are new, if you don't attend the class at Sister Padma Suri's house, we have already launched this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. This one is a transcript book based on four of the continuation of talk.That I delivered over the last 2 years. They are on cultivating the Bodhisattva way and how to walk the Bodhisattva way. So the title of the book is Cultivating the Bodhisattva way. You can have your copy if you haven't got it. You can collect for your Dhamma friends or your good friend if you want to on the way out.We still have quite a number of copies. If you need extra, you let me or Suyan or Brother Tio and Pamasuri. No, we can give it to you. This is a very good book. You should read through it to develop the understanding. There's a lot of very useful sharing and information. The condition behindthe rising of this sharing. Then also you can learn a lot from this book. Not only cultivating the Bodhisattva way, the understanding of the cultivation is very important, extremely important. It can give rise to a lot of understanding. Then it can speed up your progress. There are a lot of very useful understanding behind, where your entire cultivation will become very different when you understand. Then, even though most people may not understand, you may think this Bodhisattva way is taking very long, very difficult, beyond most of you. When you don't understand, you may have that wrong perception. But when you understand, it's actually different, completely opposite of what you think. You need to have clear understanding. When you understand, the way become very easy. The way manifests by itself through this understanding. The moment you started to develop the faith, the understanding, then after that, you become motivated. The faith will lead to the virya, spiritual zeal, that will drive you to cultivate. Then it will stabilize. Then you see the importance of it. Then you develop your resolve to walk this way. The sincerity and the faith and the perseverance will take you along. You don't need anything else. Just these three things. Faith born of understanding. Then be sincere when you walk this way. Sincerity will ensure you never deviate. There is no negativity of mind or mental intention born of wrong thought. Then you just do, persevere, cultivate. We are following all the advice and understanding. This book shares with you a lot of things. How to arise the faith, the very strong resolve to plant the seed of Bodhi. That is the first thing that you have to do. When this seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, has been planted firmly, stably, deep into your nature and your heart, because of your faith, your sincerity, then you will know what to do. And you plant this seed of Bodhi to take the vow, to establish the vow, followed by the three sets of pure precept. Then you determine strongly to have all the understanding that is given within this book. Then you will know how to make the aspiration, the affirmation, the vow. Then the affinity with all the great beings, invoking the power of truth, power of merits, for causes and conditions to break your coming obstruction. To have this right view, line of the life when you come. To have the affinity with all these great beings, all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, so that you can invoke their nature to bless you, protect you, and guide you, so that every line when your form and mind come, it will be very, very well protected. Then they will accord you with the blessings, the guidance. Then your Bodhi mind, which is firmly established and planted, they will nurture by itself. Then they will manifest by itself through causes and conditions to connect you back to the Buddha Dhamma, the Triple Gem. Then you will have great affinity with the Triple Gem. And this is how all the vow can be fulfilled and established, the perfection, everything, without you really have to do anything. Well, all this is part of nature's law. All the great beings, Bodhisattva and Buddhas, their vows, their perfection, their virtue, their understanding, their wisdom, they can take you along if you know how to establish the affinity. Yeah. So all these are explained. And I also share a lot of my own cultivation inside this book. How when I was young, a lot of things happened. Then even later on, after this nature has connected and established itself, how all the understanding unfold, and many, many more things that you may need to know to establish the way for future understanding. Then when this is properly understood, affirmed, followed, you will not behave like before. You not only establish yourself this line, this sasana is the best window for you to develop this until it is very, very strong and very firmly established. Once this is done, you will not be like before. When the Buddha sasana is no more, your form and mind will become heedless again, get lost again. But if you cultivate according to the sharing here, the advice given, you will not get lost, even without sasana. Whether there is sasana or no sasana in this universe existence, whenever your form and mind arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, this understanding, this right view will be there. This bodhi mind will be there. Then all of the understanding will unfold. Then you will progress at a very different pace. Especially from now, this sasana onward, even after there is a period of vacuum where there is no sasana, your cultivation will continue to move, progress, so that by the time you hit the next sasana, your nature has completely transformed. You have become a completely different being, cultivator. And this is what this book is all about. And this is what this nature is supposed to deliver to this world. Yeah. So hopefully, with this understanding, you can spend some time reading it. Try to develop the understanding of it. Then whatever you need to ask, you can ask. Yeah. Then like I mentioned in this book, while this form and mind is still around, make full use of it. Ask whatever question you want to ask to develop the understanding. Because when conditions cease to be, when the form and mind cease to be, you want to ask also, you don't have the condition to ask anymore. So with this, I will leave the book here. You all can rejoice if you want. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so now it's your turn. You put up your hand, then report your meditation or ask any relevant question. Pass the mic to Elsie. Yes, Elsie.
Good evening, Brother Chiu.
Yes.
And all the brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
I think about 2 months I did lying down meditation.
Yes.
So today is the first time that I do formal sitting
meditation
after 2 months. So today I feel where my energy and my heart vibration is very strong.
Okay.
So I just do anapanasati.
No problem. So let the anapanasati go on.
So after a while, suddenly it was so still.
Oh, yes, sadhu.
And then I feel at first I lean against the wall, whole body.
Yes, yes.
So suddenly I feel there's a force.
Yeah, make you straight up.
Adjustment.
Yeah, adjustment. So your black bone all will straighten up by itself.
Move forward.
So, your bodily posture will adjust by itself.
That's my sharing.
Yes, very good. Then you remember the four support is on the whiteboard up there. Always remember when the energy build up, the first thing you have to do is relax. Relax into every mind state that arise. then this energy will stabilize. Yeah. It will like on its own absorb into your nature. Yeah. It will flow into your nature. But as you relax, the nature will draw, you will absorb. Yeah. And what you need to do is after that, you just relax, silent, and if you can, stay at the breathing until this breath become like very subtle, like no more breathing. Then like you feel very still, very silent, very peaceful, which is very good. So that is the silent mind. Yeah. But you have to continue to relax into that stillness. Otherwise, it will build up as samadhi. Samadhi is not concentration. Samadhi is a type of stability of mind, unwavering, collected, but is born of continuous anapanasati, mindfulness. And it will make you very still, yeah, very still, and very, very peaceful. Like no thought, nothing, no movement. Yeah. But that is still a very strong samadhi state. Sometimes it's too strong. That's why you relax into it, then it will transform further into a free mind. Yeah. Until all this, what they call samadhi type of concentration energy, is not really one-pointedness focusing. It's concentration or samadhi energy born of continuous mindfulness. Or you go into absorption, very still the mind. Yeah. It is very good to experience that mind state. Then after that, when you continue to relax into it, you did something so that this mind will not continuously go into absorption, or they call apana samadhi. Apana samadhi is excess samadhi. You go beyond upacara samadhi. You have gone into absorption samadhi, or they call apana. Yeah. It's okay to experience it. It's very good. Like last time when I was young, I remember when I was at the uni, the stillness becomes so still and so strong until every time I sit, there is this energy at the heart there. It's like a still core of energy, so still, nothing can disturb the mind, the heart. Even lightning strike or whatever, it cannot even go near it. Yeah. It's just a little bit of like external vibration, but by the time it hit the peripheral, it already died off. It cannot even go near. That is still a conditioned state. Later on, my nature came to find out it's still a conditioned state. So I relax into it, then develop the ability to be silent. Then you have to go to the heart later on. Go to the heart. Then do the lying down meditation more. Silent everything and just relax into it. Then maintain awareness at the heart until it can detect the gateway. When you are silent without thought, the gateway will open up. If you cannot find it, then you remember what I say. Just silent and feel around the heart, slightly towards your left. You have to find out where it is. It will detect by itself. Then when it detects, all of your energy will melt inside there. Whatever stillness energy, calmness energy, mindfulness energy, yin-yang energy, samadhi or what, it will melt inside there. Then when it melts inside there, there will be a type of pure energy which is very soothing going through your gateway. Then it will meditate on its own. That energy will meditate on its own. It will know how to activate your internal movement. Yeah. You don't need to know now, but when you go in, the form and mind who experience that will know. It's very soothing, very still. Then your whole bodily formation, your whole of a vibration become very still, very subtle, until like no more movement. Like I used to say, finally your car is like perfectly still until no sound. Means your whole body and mind, no more vibration, so still. The vibration also like very smooth, like no real vibration at all, very still. very soothing. Yeah. That is the final meditation. When you go through that stage, that phase, not long, your mundane mind will collapse. Yeah. You will understand everything. Yeah. Then that one is the higher meditation, the higher teaching. With that, you can go the Bodhisattva way, and it's very easy with that type of training and that type of mind. So, very good. Eh? Just relax, maintain awareness at the heart area until you locate the gateway. Then just let the pure energy do what it like. So the fourth support is trust. Trust means don't use the thought anymore. Don't direct it. Don't try to know. Just silent, relax, and allow it to meditate on its own. The gateway, the moment is connected, that pure awareness will allow the energy yin-yang from external to melt inside. As it go through the gateway, it becomes pure energy. And this pure energy will activate and open up all the internal movements, which you may not know now, but no need to know. Then when you go through, you will understand. Because it will transform the internal movement until your whole vibration become very fine, very still. Then with that type of mind, when you come out of the meditation, your mindfulness is automatic, established, stabilized by itself. Then you can understand many, many things. You will progress very, very fast. So the third support is, I put here 24 hours, is to maintain this awareness for as long as you can, if it's in the form of meditation. Then sometimes in the form of meditation, when you just continue to relax, silent and aware, if your wisdom has already reached that level of understanding that can allow you to experience the real cessation, which is Nibbana, it can happen in the form of meditation. And you will come to know what that thing is. After that cessation happens completely, the form of mind will understand what is it. Then after that, how it come out of it, the thing that happened inside the five aggregate, the form of mind that goes through will understand. That's why this Dhamma is to be realized by the wise each for themselves. Nobody else can know what this thing is. And Nibbana is not a mind state. Your whole five aggregate of form of mind, even the pure awareness also sees there is no word, nothing you can talk about. And you will have the ability to understand all this as you meditate accordingly. Yeah? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why, based on what you described 2 months ago when you reported at Paramasuri's place, then I asked you to relax and do the lying down posture. That has already helped you stabilize the thing. That's why once you sit again, it's very easy to sit. No need to train because the mindfulness has stabilized, the spiritual faculty has stabilized. The mental hindrance is hardly there. That's why in the midst of life, you can be aware. Then when you sit, the moment you sit, your mind enters stillness, silent, very fast. But for your case, because you are not used to it, so you are familiar with Anapanasati, because your Anapanasati is very strong and your energy is very strong. So when your Anapanasati build up, you will feel the Anapanasati energy. Then as this Anapanasati develop, the mindfulness will develop. Then because you have done your lying down, the stability of that silent mind you already established. So when you are in the form of sitting posture, you will go into stillness very fast. Then your body will straighten by itself. The posture will adjust by itself. Then you will go through all those still mind state. But you still need to relax into it, stabilize it, then develop the daily mindfulness. Then only the wisdom, the understanding can come. But what you have done will help you in a very big way to develop the daily mindfulness and to develop the understanding. So I really rejoice. Sadhu to you. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. See, the meditation is only half an hour. How come she can do all this? You don't need long. When your spiritual faculty is there, all this happens very fast. If in the midst of life you cannot be mindful and heedful, it's very difficult for you to establish the meditation. The Buddha mentioned very clearly under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train your mind, you are heedless. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you cannot be mindful and heedful in the midst of life, you are heedless. And the moment you are heedless, you are as if dead. So you cannot have that stability of daily mindfulness to be mindful and heedful in the midst of life. Most of the time, you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. Means you don't really stand a chance. That's why whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the four foundations of mindfulness, mainly the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment, you cannot develop the enlightenment or what they call the awakening. The insight into phenomena, the realization of the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature, they can only arise when your mind is heedful, fully aware, means constantly aware, or ever mindful and constantly meditative. Heedfulness consists of two parts, like what we have written here. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is constantly meditative. So, Dhammapada verse 23, the ever mindful, constantly meditative. If you hold on to these two practices steadfastly, you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. That's why this Dhammapada verse 23 defines what is heedfulness. In Pali, it's called apamada. So, heedfulness will lead to the awakening, like the Buddha mentioned under Dhammapada verse 23. The moment you are heedful, you never die. The heedful never die. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You will realize Nibbana and you don't need to be reborn. Means technically, you will not die as a deluded person. Means the separation of form and mind, you know, is not you. You never die because there is no ignorance to take rebirth. That's how Nibbana can be realized. Then for those who walk the Bodhisattva way, they don't need a rebirth consciousness through ignorance to come back. They can come back with a pure mind, born of love and compassion through their vows, through their very strong Bodhisattva vow and their aspiration and their determination. The vow will give rise to all this pure mind. The first vow especially, the Bodhisattva vow to liberate and take across all the limitless or countless living beings. That itself is love and compassion. And this is the pure mind together with the vow. He will have the condition to trigger off the form and mind to arise. That's how karma can continue to create a form and mind. But this form and mind that come out is not through a consciousness that has ignorance, that goes through the rebirth consciousness, born of ignorance. This one, no more rebirth consciousness, is the pure consciousness, the pure mind that take rebirth. Then the other part is, when you do the awareness-based meditation, There are four important support for awareness-based meditation. So these are relax, aware, 24-hour, and trust, which I have described. Relax means relax into every mind state that arises within the meditation. Don't try to know, just relax into it. The more you relax, the more silent you become. That is the silent mind, the free mind, the meditative mind. Otherwise, you will go into absorption. You will go into apana samadhi. Or if you go one-pointedness, you go into energy field. Is concentration, samatha. And that one is energy field. So, don't try to know, just relax and aware, maintain the awareness. Then, stay in that state for as long as you can. That's why it's 24 hours. Later on, you can go into your sleeping state. Instead of only your conscious moment when you are not sleeping, means your conscious moment when you are going through life. But later on, you can go into your sleep. Yeah? Your subconscious and unconscious moment while you rest and sleep, you can develop the mindfulness within 24 hours. It's like 24-hour meditation is possible. Then your daily mindfulness is the one that will take you along to develop this 24-hour meditation. And it's possible. It can be done. Yeah, but hardly any cultivator understand it. To them, it's like impossible. How can you meditate when you are working in the midst of life? Then the other thing is, how can you meditate when you are sleeping? Yeah, the only thing they understand is when you sleep, you become unconscious. Or you are in your la-la land, dreamland, creating your own dreams. But if you have mindfulness and awareness within, you are fully aware. That's why you are heedful. You are conscious of life. You are fully aware within. Then you have a choice. You want to just relax into it and silence everything. Well, by the time you have developed the awakening and the understanding, you have gone beyond study. So no need to study already. Technically, no need to do anything. Well, the wisdom is already there. The understanding is already there. Your nature is already transformed. It has become a part of your nature. Then your mundane mind collapsed. You are always with a supramundane mind, which is a completely different form and mind. And your form and mind, because of the wisdom, the understanding, is no longer the usual grasping aggregate. It is non-grasping. It cannot hold anymore. It cannot grasp. It cannot cling. Where there is no more delusion. Then feeling is always feeling, pure feeling. It will not be conditioned into craving because there is no more delusion. It's no longer gullible. It cannot be lure or deceive to grasp, to cling, to hold, and to create that delusion so that, like a normal putujana, you get yourself entangled, afflicted, no more. Then the last part is, of course, trust. Trust is to trust your nature. So this number four, you don't worry. You will not do so early. Unless later on you decide to go on the Bodhisattva way, then you will understand this. This one is let your nature do, not the mind. The mind doesn't get involved. When the thought is involved, that one is not trust. Means you don't trust your nature. You want to interfere with the meditation. And that will result in thought-based meditation. That's why thought-based meditation, a lot of doing by the thought. And you do thought-based meditation, thought is the meditator. Thought is the one meditating. And how you meditate? You know. You focus, you concentrate. You develop so-called, in inverted comma, mindfulness. Means thought-based awareness or mindfulness. Mindfulness cannot be thought-based. Like I wrote here, meditate, develop awareness means to develop the silent mind. The moment you are silent, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware and the silent mind is already there. So don't think. No thought, no aggregate of mind, no perception, no movement, no activity, no consciousness, you're already aware. The pure awareness can be there. Yeah. Just aware, without thought. Yeah. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. Don't try to be aware. That's why at the Sunday Wu Ping Ching Sir class, if you listen to the Dhamma sharing, it will help you a lot. I explain the two types of mind, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Basically, human beings' problem is they don't understand they have two minds. They only familiar with one type of mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind. The worldly mind. And that is the one that they are very familiar. That's why they think a lot. They worry a lot. They plan. They scheme. They chatter. They talk a lot. So the chattering, the verbalization and all those things come from the mundane mind. And every moment of sense experience, the mundane mind still react through views, opinion and conditioning. It just arises. That's how mental hindrance come to be. Yeah. When you don't have right view, wisdom, right understanding, your mind will stir, your mind will react, it will become heedless. It will create sankhara. That's the reason why the dependent origination, the dwelling, the first two links, very powerful. Avijja paccaya sankhara. So because of your ignorance or delusion, you create mental activity, thinking. And this is how the dependent origination start. This is how your heedless thinking, your mundane mind evolve and start. Okay? You can rejoice if you want to. Don't be shy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Your rejoicing is a meritorious action. If rejoicing also you shy, means you don't know how to make use of the condition to develop wholesomeness of mind. And remember, when I cultivate, my heart always rejoice when I hear Dhamma, when I develop the understanding. This one inside always rejoice. And rejoicing must be something that your heart has developed. That's why whenever it hear truth or understand truth, there is a lot of joy. Then the rejoicing becomes so strong. And I'm always the first to rejoice whenever I listen to any good sharing or talk. And my teacher, Achayantra, he know. When I was in Australia attending his Kadina, he spoke in Thai and he explained all this to the Thai people. You see. There is one family from Malaysia. You see. The whole family is a Dhamma family. And they have very good Dhamma understanding and they are real cultivator. Then he always share with them, he is very good at rejoicing, he always rejoices. Last time I was doing the recording of all the Dhamma talk, then we only have cassette tape at that time. We were more backward, technology not so evolved as yet. There is no such thing as even the what? The one what you call that type of small disc. No. Before pen drive. No, that small disc. Floppy disc. Oh, that time got floppy disc already. Very happy. Then later on, CD. Then now, pen drive. Then now you got hard disk and all those things. Then now WhatsApp also can send video. Now technology has evolved so fast, and you know how to use it with wisdom, understanding. It is going to help you in many ways to develop the understanding. That's why don't fear technology. Don't fear new thing. It's the user of technology that must develop. The user must have wisdom, understanding. Then whatever that user do with technology, it become beautiful. It serves its purpose. It will bring about wholesomeness, goodness. Like the Buddha's teaching, You say we are born with this form and mind, the physical body, the vehicle, and the tool. Our tool is the mind, the consciousness, the thought process. He said the user of this form and mind must have wisdom. And then this form and mind become beautiful because you can use it with understanding. Then you use it to arise the right thought without delusion, without ignorance. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is right view leading to right thought. Then right thought, condition, right speech, right action, right livelihood. That's how Noble Eightfold Path falls into place. Then you develop the ability to be mindful, aware. Then you stabilize it to develop samadhi, to see things as they are, to awaken, to develop the wisdom. Then your straightening of view through the understanding, the wisdom will bring about the completion of the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right view. You will come to understand the Buddha's teaching on right view very clearly. You can put it to test. Then the three right views, spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, dependent origination, and dhamma, niyama, law, truth. All this you will understand very clearly. Then because of the right view, you will know to arise the four right effort to purify your thought process, to transform the form and mind so that the personality, the character within the form and mind will become established following Noble Eightfold Path. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and the way you live your life, right living or right livelihood. So all this, when you do it correctly, appropriately, it will lead to enlightenment. That's why the Buddha mentioned very clearly under the fourth noble truth. He said there is this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will realize the enlightenment. It will lead to the end of all suffering. So that is the meditation, Noble Eightfold Path. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, then it's not the teaching as taught by the Buddha. Then it's just meditation in your own way. So this aspect of his teaching is very useful, very important. Okay, now we can open it up again. Anybody else wants to report meditation or ask any question? Or you can suggest whatever Dhamma topic that you want to understand. Yes, can. You can continue. Yeah, I'll see. Yeah.
Recently when I did my meditation in the morning, lying down meditation, I was fully aware, but I can hear my yawning.
Very good. Your
my
own
snoring. Snoring.
Very good.
Not only one time, so many times. I was fully aware. I wonder whether I don't know whether I sleep, but
you don't worry, because when you can hear your own snoring, it means you have mindfulness. You see, this mindfulness is like that. It has to be developed over a period in stages. As it stabilizes, that's why this reporting is very good. Initially, it's like that. As you relax and silent, because you are not used to it, you tend to fall asleep. Don't worry. Sleep. Your body is tired. You need to sleep. You sleep. Then after that, when you have enough rest, you will be aware. Then when you're aware, you maintain the awareness. Maintain the awareness, just silent. Don't try to know. Let things be. Then even in the lying down posture, most of the time, if you can go down into the lying down posture, means you have stabilized your anapanasati. Means your anapanasati has become very stable. You have hit the stage of pasati, or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, then only you can go into the lying down meditation. Means you can be in a quiet state of mind when you are lying down. No need to have anything to anchor your mind. No need to do anapanasati, nothing. You just silent, relax, aware. Then if you want to go to the heart, you go to the heart. Otherwise, you remain silent, maintain awareness of your bodily posture. Then you will stay there, silent, still. Yeah. Then this awareness will build up, stabilize. Then initially, you can feel a lot of vibration in your own body. Wherever you locate your mind, you can feel it. Then later on, as it stabilizes, you can go to the heart area and stay there for as long as you can. That's why that stability is very important. Then initially, I still remember, when you have not established your sati very well, you will start to hear the pounding of the heart, like very loud pounding, pupa, pupa. It's like the stethoscope, first time, very loud one, because your vibration has not stabilized. But when you hit pasati, you realize that breathing all slow down, until the heartbeat also. Even when you can feel the pounding, don't worry, don't panic. Just relax into it and silent and let it be. You don't feed it with any more mental energy, you realize your mind will enter sati. Then all this will slow down, quiet down. Then the pounding also will slow down until like not much movement. They're very quiet. Quiet until finally no more movement. No more movement, that is the best. That is your true mind, your awareness. But most people cannot maintain it. That's why if I don't share all this with you, you cannot do it because you don't understand what these things are. And you can't even maintain that silent. Silent means until there is no more movement, no more vibration. It's like no more heartbeat also. Yeah. But actually there is. Very fine, very subtle, because you haven't reached the refinement of mindfulness to feel it. Then sometimes really no more movement still. Until nothing, no thought, nothing. Just fully aware. Aware. Yeah. And during that time, because you have to continue to relax into it. Then sometimes you can lapse into the what they call unconscious. You can become like you want to, the mind like want to sleep. But it's not sleep. You are still aware, but you don't maintain the awareness on the self. You don't try to maintain it. You just let it be. Then sometimes it's like it go into a sleep state. Sleep state. But you are not sleeping. Where the awareness is down there. Down there. That's why the moment you snore, or even one sound, beginning is like that one sound. The moment that sound arrives, the awareness straight away come out. Detect it, then the snoring stops. Then you continue to relax again. Then again it snore. Continue. What she is going through is the initial phase, which is very good. Continue to listen to that one. Then as you relax, the more relaxed you are, the more you will snore. Yeah. Because you can relax until that snoring become very, very natural. Because when you are breathing naturally in a very relaxed state, when you have good sleep, you will snore. You will snore. Yeah. But this one comes with meditation. That's why it's different. So it's always one sound only. And it's magnified very long. Then the moment you aware, it stops. Then you relax again, silent. Then you maintain. This is how the real meditation develops. Then people may think you are sleeping, snoring, sometimes very loud. But I can tell you, everything they say, you will be aware. Many times during the early day, when we were at, we call it spiritual trip or picnic, you all call picnic. Then we had our discussion, we had our Dhamma sharing last time when I was cultivating together with a group of people. Then what happened is, I normally, when I want to meditate, because these people like to talk, so I will say, I go and sleep first, I take my rest. So I went in and rest. Actually, I was meditating. Then you know what they say. Somebody also inside there. They hear me snoring. Then he come out and said, hey, brother, Theo sleep already. We can talk now. So they start to talk. Then the next morning, I tell you, they got a shock of their life. As they were talking, and then suddenly certain thing happened. Then I say, oh, you all were discussing this. So and so was saying, everybody look at each other. How did he know? He was sleeping. He was snoring. Then they asked me, you were snoring. How did you know all this? Their joke and all this thing. I say, I was sleeping. But the awareness never sleep. That's why they cannot understand. Because at that time, my awareness can go into my sleep. The deep state of subconscious and unconscious. The awareness is fully aware. And how this subconscious release and unconscious release, how it create dream, the awareness can see them. Yeah. That's why it can even be so sensitive as sometimes I may be sleeping down there. Then I can feel and actually hear the vibration of these ants crawling far away, about 20, 30 feet away. Very clear. A lot of things become very different when you go through that cultivation. That's why sati is not what people think. When you are in that state of sati, you are very sensitive. You become very different. Then wherever I locate this awareness, even in the brain, any part, I can feel what is happening inside the brain. The movement, everything. But you have to be completely silent without thought. Then there's awareness, there's understanding. That's how the direct seeing, the direct awakening can happen. Sadhu, you'll see. Very good. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. That's why it makes my nature rejoice when people can do it. Because these are not easy to develop. You have to have the faith and you have to really do it. And it can be done. It's not difficult. She is relatively new. If she can do it, why can't you do it? Understand? So don't be too eager to progress. Don't try to know. Just do. If you do, following the instruction, that's why I say listen attentively. Write notes down. Understand it. Not sure, ask. Then when you do it, understanding, like 2 months ago, she asked. Luckily, she asked. Then I explained at Pamasuri's house. What happened? Then she came to understand. Because early on, she was stuck with the energy. She got a lot of energy in the body. And she can be very calm, very still, but she didn't know how to relax into it and stabilize it. Then, because in the sitting posture, more difficult. So later on, you have to go down to the lying down posture, then move it, the mindfulness, into the daily life. That's why she is doing all these things. That's how she can develop all this progress and understanding. And not long, the wisdom will arise, the understanding will arise, and many things will unfold. You need this silent mind, this stability of mindfulness to be aware. So, ability to hear your own snoring is the beginning. Then after that, the more important is the daily mindfulness. The daily mindfulness, once you establish, you become very different. Throughout the day, it's like everything you do, you are in sati. Your body and mind move as one. Everything you see is in sati. Hearing, sati. The senses, they are in sati. Your mind is already in sati. That's why you can see the specific phenomena. So you have the silent to experience the spacious awareness without a center. Then when you live life, you are fully aware. There's a specific phenomenal awareness. The awareness and the phenomenal move as one. This is what meditation is. If you cannot do until that level of stability, you still haven't done the real satipatthana. It's only with this type of mindfulness that you can see your subtle defilement, your evil roots, your mental intention, the hidden one, the deep hidden one, then your unconscious, the subconscious, then every movement within the brain, the sankhara, the activity of mind, you are so mindful, so aware. You don't have to be like attentively aware. No, that mindfulness, that stability or that mindfulness is awareness by itself. It understands. That's why I don't have to be aware to see all your movement. When I share, my nature is still no movement. But it can perceive everything. It can be aware of almost everything. It depends on what this nature wants to be aware. And all this movement is there because this one is still. When this one doesn't move, all movement, this one can be aware. When this one is busy thinking, reacting, verbalizing, chattering, how can this one see? How can this one be aware? That's why your mundane mind think a lot, react a lot, stir a lot, because it is not silent. That's why you cannot see. So the real meditation is silent within, then you are fully aware, you can understand. Otherwise, you are preoccupied with all this thought process, thinking, reasoning, comparing, etc. So when you are actively creating your own sankhara thinking, you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you cannot be aware of what is happening in front. It's like sometimes when you got things bothering you, you worry, you think, you worry. When you think and worry, you are not aware. Then sometimes people call you also, you don't listen, or you cannot hear. Then they say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, sorry, sorry, I'm thinking of something. Yeah, you are completely lost in thought, heedless. But when you are silent, not lost in thought, you are sensitive, you are aware. Even very small vibration, you are aware. Any movement, then you are sensitive. You can feel people's nature, whether they got sadness, unhappiness, they are not their usual self or not. You can feel them. Then you go into the house, you can feel whether the house got good vibration or negative vibration. And you go to anywhere, you are very sensitive, you can feel. Like when you come here, you will know this hall is different, this place is very different. You go to Tuesday class, Sunday class, it's different. Last time I remember, when I was with my second last teacher and Acharyantra, every time we go to the place where we used to have our session, we call it the magic hall. Magic hall, you know why magic hall? You realize you can meditate very easily there. Oh, because the energy is different, the vibration is different, the consciousness is different. Okay, yeah. Pass the mic to get on. Yes, yeah, get on, yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to ask about the perspective of the 8 precepts. How does it apply in the... especially the last 3 precepts, like sleeping on heart, not sleeping on brain. How does that affect meditation? How does it affect?
Oh, okay. Your question is, what are the significance of the 6, 7, and 8 precepts? Is that what your question is? So it's very easy. That's why a lot of people don't understand. The Buddha say the precepts are training rules that you have to abide by when you are still under training. Do you understand? Where these precepts are for people who are still under training. That's why you undertake the training rule to abstain from all these things. So, precept is meant as a guide to prevent heedlessness, to prevent you from violating it, so that you can bring about the evil roots. Without you knowing it, when you violate this precept, if you check back, you will know these precepts, only people with delusion, ignorance, selfishness, emotional negativity, the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will break them, especially the first 5 precepts. Then the 6, 7, and 8 is different. 6, 7, and 8 is a refinement of precepts that the Buddha introduced so that the monk don't get carried away, so that the monk does not succumb to all this sensual, what they call craving. That's why you are not supposed to sit on high seat or comfortable seat, or sleep on high bed, comfortable bed. Then you become lazy. Then you enjoy that type of seat. Then when you go to the forest, only one piece of cloth, you complain. You say, "Ayo, when the lay people invite me, wow, they put the cushion, everything, and they allow me to sit on high chair." I see. That's why the Buddha limit all this. Because when you are under training, you can be tempted, understand? You can be lured because your senses are still not refined. You don't have the wisdom, you don't have the understanding. So craving can arise and you can be afflicted or affected. So that is the purpose. Then the other one is what they call dancing, singing, and seeing unsightly show and all those things. You understand? So that also can lure a monk. If you don't have this precept, they say the Buddha never say I cannot go. So he will go and see all this show. Then what will happen? You're supposed to renounce the world, do the training. But instead, you go and allow yourself to be distracted by all this. Before the wisdom is there, you can be distracted. Chances are you will be distracted. That's why it's imposed. Then you cannot wear jewelry and all those things. That is to prevent, especially cultivator ladies who wants to beautify themselves. And put on all the nice jewelry and all those things. It is meant as a training rule for you to recall to mind that this can cause craving, heedlessness, and revert you back to the lay life because you will start to be affected, influenced. Then you compare. But if you are mindful of all this, because these are precepts, then you will come to the understanding that the Buddha is trying to remind me that if I go for or I renounce the world, I determine to cultivate and I have to be serious. Then even for lay people, the reason why the eight precepts is introduced is the eight precepts is to prevent certain lay people. Because if you just keep your five precepts, then they will still go and enjoy life. So chances are you won't be serious about the cultivation, the practice. But it depends. When you already have the understanding, you are not subject to all this. Because these are not the thing that will cause your downfall. It will only cause your downfall when you are leo into it. When you don't have the understanding yet. Then you touch money, you can have problem because money can give rise to greed, selfishness. Understand? Then you want to deceive people, cheat people. So that's the reason why under the 10 precepts they introduce, you cannot touch money. You don't touch money, lay people will complain. Then how to live life? I need to buy things, understand? That's why now in China they got these apps. No need to use money. Then the question they will ask, though, did I go against the precept? This is virtual money. I still use money. Then they interpret. Buddha said, don't touch. I didn't touch. If you justify like that, it's not going to help you, understand? Because precepts are introduced for a purpose. The monk, they have this precept is because chances are if you allow them to touch money, it can become havoc. That's why they are given kapya to help them to manage their funds, their money, to serve them to care for them. Kapya. You haven't heard of kapya? Attendant to the monk. You attend to the monk's need. All the donation, the kapya will help to record, collect and keep on his behalf, bank in the bank. But the kapya, you must have somebody who is sincere, honest, trustworthy. If you pass like kapya cheat the monk, then in future you come, your kapya also will cheat you, deceive you, and do all these funny things to you. So, it depends. So, these are introduced during the Buddha's time. That's why he has attendant. Ananda attend to the Buddha. But he's also a monk. So that's why they have lay people to see to their needs, the Sangha's need and all those things. That's why there's a synergy between the lay community and the monks. You know what are the synergy or not? The monk has to cultivate to be worthy of offering, give, hospitality, and medicine and all the four requisites. So for you to be worthy to receive all this, you must meditate, you must cultivate, so that all this offering from the lay people will transform into proper merits. If you are not worthy of offering, if you only in name monk, put on the robe, you don't cultivate, then you are not worthy of offering. Then you are deceiving people. Then it doesn't serve the purpose of this Sangha is to establish a community of cultivators among the monks' community. Then the real Sangha is the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. But it has been used as a general term because the Sangha includes all those who ordain. But the triple gem, the Sangha, is only the enlightened disciple. So these are the difference. So the synergy is, if you renounce as a monk, you need support. So the support has to come from the lay community. And the lay community knows, if you are a monk, you keep the precept, you undertake the training rule, you cultivate, you become worthy of offering. Then the merit is there. That's why they will come and offer to you. Then, if you do this, the monks' community, they will give back in kind, not only through merits based on your offering, your respect, and the four requisites. They also share Dhamma with you. They administer precept to you. So the Buddha introduced all this so that there is this synergy between the lay community and the Sangha. So the lay community will receive, like the Buddha said, if you keep your precept, it's a source of spiritual peacefulness. Then it's also the source of what they call joy, happiness. Then the last one is source of spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth means the monk, after they receive, they will share merit with you, transfer merit. Then what they do is they will also deliver the sermon, the Dhamma. Then you receive the teaching, the spiritual wealth. For the purpose of in the community, yes, ordained monk. But when you take refuge, the triple gem, it refers to the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. That's why in the chanting, you chant Supatipanno, these are the characteristics of the enlightened monk of the Buddha. They are of good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, dutiful conduct. So if you want to be enlightened, you have to check whether you have this quality or not, whether you are upright, whether you have good conduct, whether you have wise conduct, and you do your duty very well. That's like dutiful conduct. And then he said, these four pair of beings, the enlightened beings, the first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, and the fourth stage of sainthood. Or in Pali, they call Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, or Arahanta, or Arahants. They got path and fruition. That's why every stage, there is a path and a fruition. So one pair. So these four pairs of being, Arya Pugala, they are worthy of offering, respect, hospitality and gifts. And the field of merits that arise is immeasurable. It's all in the chanting. So that refuge that you take, the Sangha, is the Aryan Sangha, very clearly stated. But for general community usage, whoever who is an ordained monk is part of the Sangha. They call it the Sangha community, but it's not the Triple Gem Sangha. And this one, a lot of people don't understand. They don't know how to differentiate. Okay? Yeah.
Then in Buddhism, what is this word, the middle path is used? What is the middle path?
Middle path is avoid the two extreme.
But human being, we do. I say again, maybe I'm so ordinary.
No, it's okay. It's a good question.
We do have this word as happy, sad. We do have these two extreme, right? We do have light, dislike.
Pleasant and unpleasant.
We are not supposed to have. We are not supposed to.
The Buddha never say you're not supposed to have. You can have, but don't attach. He only say don't cling, don't attach. Understand?
But how do you cultivate this sort of behavior in, maybe a teacher?
It's very easy. Yeah, that's why I have to explain to you. Because when you are new to the Dhamma, actually not only you are new to the Dhamma, a lot, maybe 20, 30 years, 40 years in the Dhamma, they also cannot understand. To them, middle path, noble eightfold path, finish. Because the Buddha, under the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he said, he advised the monk to avoid the two extreme. What are the two extreme? I write on the whiteboard. Yeah. Maybe for you to see. Yeah. What are the two extreme? So the two extremes are self-indulgent or sensual indulgent. You know what is extreme? Yeah? Sensual indulgent. You indulge in the senses. Sensual indulgent. You know this word, huh? Oh, indulgent. Sorry, I-N. Wow. Thank you, I-N. You're right. Yeah. Otherwise, we become indulgent. Indulgent, sensual indulgent. Then, self-mortification. You torture yourself. In the time of the Buddha, the Hindu practice, self-mortification. They have these two views, very extreme. Some, they believe, this world is only one life, understand? So enjoy life. Forget about all those problems. So indulge in the senses, especially you can afford, you got money. They go and do all sorts of things. You have seen the what they call film show in there. They have a lot, even whatever culture, whatever tradition. China, you see the emperor, what they do after they become emperor. They have this sensual indulgence in there. They got a lot of concubines, kui fei. Then they indulge their senses. All the food, the best food was served, the music, the dancing, everything. And sometimes they even entertain themselves with all the fighting, the swordsmen competing and all those things. Then sometimes archery, then horse riding and all those things. So these are sensual indulgence. The Buddha said this leads to world eating, very low, lead to downfall. Because you indulge too much of your senses, you cannot develop the understanding of life. You will become heedless. It will lead to downfall. And these are very, very sensual, very low, worldly. Then the other extreme is, they believe everybody has karma, they say. I have to develop self mortification. Means I mortify myself. I torture myself. Understand? In India, it's very common. They stand in the snow on one leg. Sometimes they don't wear thick clothing or clothing. They just endure the winter and all those things. And they do a lot of these very harsh type of practices. They mortify themselves. They don't eat. Like what the Buddha went through. For 6 years, he went through this. He hardly take any food until he was at the verge of dying. That's why he revert back to food. So he realized this tool doesn't serve any purpose. It does not lead to the training of the mind to develop the wisdom, the understanding, to liberate the mind, to free the mind, to realize what he was searching for, the enlightenment, to go beyond old age, sickness and death, to realize the unconditioned, so that escape from the conditioned world becomes possible. So because of these two extremes, the Buddha come out with the middle path. The middle path, the meaning is very deep. This is the first meaning. When you avoid these two extremes, means you still eat anasara, but you don't indulge in the senses. You understand? You still meditate, cultivate, discipline yourself, develop the training of the mind, develop calmness, awareness, understanding and all those things. You don't go and torture yourself, mortify yourself until you are so weak and so fragile and so incapable of even having normal consciousness. So all this, no point. And when they do this self-modification, what they do is they go into samatha, concentration, one point of the jhana, to maintain the body so that the mind can be very strong. But no point. As the Buddha realized, it can lead to all the eight jhanas, the form jhana, the first four, and the four formless jhana. But it doesn't bring about wisdom, enlightenment. He still has problem with all his sickness and death. He has not got the answer. That's why he went ahead and eat food. He avoids self-modification. He maintain the cultivation, means he also avoid sensual desire. Then he continued to cultivate. As he cultivated, he came out with this understanding, you must have this noble eightfold path, which he called the middle path. The middle path means you go in between, you don't go and get yourself entangled with these two extremes, which are low, doesn't lead to enlightenment. It's mentioned in the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, the first sermon. But the deeper meaning is, you have to avoid the two extremes which just now you try to mention. So this is the first. Avoiding the two extremes is the first middle path. So if you avoid this one, then this is the first middle path. The second middle path is what? What is the second middle path? Where is the second middle path? Is to transcend? Transcend what? Transcend duality. You know what is duality? Like just now you mentioned, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Means go beyond. Understand or not? Go beyond means not be affected by it. Understand not? This duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, good and bad, these are duality of the world, understand? And these are relative truth. These are not ultimate truth. So if you don't transcend the duality, the yin and the yang, you can never free your mind. Because when you touch one side, the other side manifests. You understand? When I have a standard, let's say, I say, I want to be good. You have a reference there. Good means what? Don't kill, don't harm, and all those things. But automatically, when I create this good, whatever that is the opposite become what? Bad, not good. So what happened is, the Buddha say, imas means sati idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. When I create good, bad will arise. Then what happened? Then you argue about good and bad. Good according to who? You never ask. You understand? These are relative truth. I give you another example, you understand. This one, not enough time to share. Never mind, I try. This one comes from, I heard from Phuc Chai. I don't know whether it's true or not. I think it's true. He said, Deng Xiaoping, China, the ex-leader, how he actually pulled China out. He was imprisoned in the 70s by Chairman Mao and the Gang of Four. Then in the 80s, Chiao Enlai freed him by talking to Mao Zedong. Then he came out. Then 80-something until now, 2017, about 30 years or so, he transformed China from what it was, so backward, communist ideology and all those things. And China became so vibrant because of him. He started to open up China and all those things. So he realized the problem was China was arguing about which system to follow, communism, communist ideology, or democracy. Then he told Chao Enlai, he said, you all have been trapped in the world of duality because you want to take side. He said, to me, it's like two cats. You complain. You say, the black cat is better, which is communism. Then democracy is the white cat, understand? Then people say, the white cat is useless because what they saw, the communists were read as, they have this striptease show, they wear like swimming wear, the sexy looking and all that. So they say Western world very low moral value, understand? Miss Universe also wear like that and all those things. Then they drink, they indulge, they got this laissez-faire society and all. Whereas communism is very very conservative, understand? Everything equal and all those things. So he say when you are arguing about this, you will treat them as two different one ideology. To him, he say, I don't care whether it's a white cat or a black cat. As long as that cat can help me catch the mice, it's a good cat, understand? So don't bother about right or wrong, good or bad, understand? Democracy or communism. Whichever, like the Buddha said, that bring about understanding that help you to progress, use it. You understand? So that's why he told the reporter who asked him, is it, I also don't know, like you, how to bring China out. But I know one thing, is it, I'm a blind man. So I try, I feel around. That's why he tried. He established some understanding of what is good about democracy. He tried to open up certain city, Shenzhen and all those things, remember? As he tried, he also made mistake. Then he corrected. Or then when he's successful, he saw the result, then he opened up more city, understand? Oh, he said, I'm a blind man, I try. That's why I try, I apply what is useful. I don't care whether it's a democracy or communism. I use both. I try. What is successful, I apply, I open up. I'm a blind man. Yeah. So he said, in Mandarin, 一个盲人,两只猫,三个点, he bring China out of the slum of communism. 盲人 is, he admit, he don't know, like you don't know. What is all this duality? I don't want to know. So to me, the Buddha say, not important. You have to transcend them. Understand not? Whether democracy or communism, you are arguing for what? Creating division, ideology. whatever that is useful to society, use it. Yeah. So he said, a blind person with two cats, then sangatian. Sangatian means three important principles in life. This one something to do with Dhamma. So the first is, you know Mandarin or not? You don't know. He said, 眼睛要看远一点. Now you can understand, huh? You must have foresight. You must see further into the future. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish just because of selfishness. You look short term, understand? Huh? You just want to get things done. But if you got foresight, you are patient. You want to establish a country that will grow, that will prosper. The cat that can catch the mice. What are the mice? The mice destroy your thing, understand? Steal from you, corrupt one, understand? Oh. And what does the mice do? Create disease, havoc, understand? Plague and all those things. Then they destroy everything, they steal everything, they eat everything. So as long as I have this understanding, I will use all my people. I don't care whether what race they are, understand? As long as they can improve my system, help my country to progress, to prosper, then I use them. Then I have foresight. Means I don't discriminate, I don't argue, I don't create division. Then second one is the mind, is it? Sing tai, ya hao yi dian. That is the second principle. Your heart must be good, wholesome. Means what? No selfishness, sincere, work for the people, work for the country. Well, he named the country the People's Republic of China. Without the people, there is no republic. Without the republic, there is no China, no country. Without the country, there is no government. Without the government, there is no leader. Without the leader, there is no government servant. The government servant is the last. So you have to go this way for them to appreciate that the people is the highest in command, etc. That's why he says, 心态要好一点. You must lead as a leader for the country, for the people, for the country, sorry, for the people first, then for the republic, then for the country, then for the state and all those things. Then in this way, you have good understanding. Means whatever you work is for the benefit of the people, the country, and the system. It's not about your selfish ego, your selfish interest. That's why he will do away all the corruption and all those things. Then when you have the understanding, it's like Dhamma. Do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. So don't cheat, don't deceive. Take care of the environment. Take care of the people. Take care of the country. Take care of the consciousness. Take care of the world. That's why China is doing all this. That's why they prosper. They came up. Then third one, 第三个点, 脚步要走快一点. Please don't be lazy. Walk faster, strive, sacrifice for the people, for the country. He said, with these three things, I take China out. One blind man, two mouths, and three principles in life. See, he is so wise. And he don't have to be a wise person. He is already very wise in that aspect. And I like that story because it shares the Dhamma. You have to transcend duality. Don't argue, even race and all those things. Forget about it. Understand? Whatever cat, what color, never mind, can catch mice, can solve your problem, can bring about progress. That is a good one. Understand? So don't discriminate. So transcend duality. Go beyond division. Go beyond ideology. Go beyond your like and dislike. Because it will bring about craving, attachment, clinging. The moment you touch one extreme, the other extreme manifests. That's why you got friend and enemy. But you don't create friend, you don't create enemy. We are fellow living beings. We live in harmony. Yeah, what? If you got friend means, if he no longer behaves the way he is, he become your enemy, correct? Or not? It's not stone. No, that is your perception.
But they cannot describe things that
Why you cannot? Cannot be. It's not right or wrong. Right and wrong will not bring about understanding. But right and wrong is relative. Wrong according to you. Understand or not? No, you're talking about society's norm, Kiet Hun. No, society's norm. Understand? Norm means popularly accepted. Understand? But in our society, our norm can be different from another society. Do you see the point? Even in religion, it's the same. What is good to you may not be good in another religion. It doesn't mean that it's standard. As long as there is a rule, there is a norm, then it is man-made. You understand? Man-made. Yes. Do you think it's the same as the Buddhist first commandment? First precept, sorry. We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Is it the same? You see, their commandment is thou shalt not kill. You can go and read the Bible. Means it shows that that statement is only limited to that understanding. Thou shalt not kill means you shall not kill. Okay? If I hire people to kill, I don't break that commandment, you know? No? I didn't kill. That person killed. But I pay money. Whereas the Buddha is different. We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing means, or causing harm means, even you hire or what, as long as you have the mental intention to kill and harm, you violate the precept. That's why it's a big difference. But these are moral rules, understand? Established as a guide to train the cultivator. Because if you violate, it's your life. The Buddha never say you cannot. You say you undertake the training rule, but it's for your good. Out of love and compassion for you, he asks you to keep. And it's for you to learn the teaching why you must keep. Because killing is an evil action. Bring about karmic negativity. You reap what you sow. When you kill and harm in future, when there's condition, people will kill and harm you back. So it's an understanding. It's not a established law that is carved in stone. No. It's a moral understanding. So all these are words, concept, duality. But when you cultivate, you go beyond words. You go beyond concept. You go beyond duality. You live. Live means what? You have love. You have compassion. Then why I want to say you are my friend, you are my enemy? Love means love. Understand? When God loves, there is no hate. If you love and hate, then there is no love. You understand? How can you love and at the same time hate? Means there is not love. Love is absence of negativity. That's why it's called love, universal love, compassion. But when you create duality, it's from the thought, through selfishness, through ignorance, through delusion, because you want to segregate. Whatever is good for you, you want to define it. And all this comes from the thought. And the thought is the one that delude you, where that is selfish. That's why self-delusion creates selfishness, evil roots. Then it divides and rule and control, suppress. That's why the world become what it is. Okay, we have to end. We have 10 minutes already. Anyway, thanks for your question, Kevin. Sadhu. Yeah. Okay, we better end. We recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we shall share this marriage with all beings, starting with the devas. Aka sata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan te deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhya idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. There we end.
Let's express our gratitude to Brahmio and Sisil for coming all the way to share the profound Buddha Dharma just by saying sadhu three times.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Chai and Sister Elsie for fetching Brahmio and Sisil here.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Sian and Sister Nipong for letting us to come and practice in their beautiful homes.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Let's see, the class is on.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah, on.
We are leaving by day afternoon.
Yeah.
The following week?
Yeah, 2 weeks. The following 2 weeks. Oh, 1 week. Yeah, 1 week.
Yeah, 1 week.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.